It was a secret video of Peru's one-time intelligence chief, Vladimiro Montesinos, paying a bribe to a congressman that led to the downfall of President Alberto Fujimori's government. When the video, taped by Montesinos himself, was leaked to the media in September 2000, it unleashed such a scandal that the Fujimori government fell less than 3 months later, ending 10 years of autocratic rule. The Montesinos bribery scandal is a textbook example of the corrosive effects of corruption on a country's political life, its institutions, and economy. Yet Peru is not the only country plagued by corruption.
Corruption is something that afflicts all of us. There is no country that doesn't have a challenge in terms of controlling corruption.
Nancy Boswell heads the U.S. chapter of Transparency International, a group which monitors global corruption.
There are always going to be people who are corrupt. I don't think at the end of the day, though, that any of us believes that one country has more of that culture or less of that culture. It really is a question of, have they been able to develop these institutional mechanisms to control it?
Corruption takes many forms, from bribery of police or government officials, insider trading in stock markets, nepotism in hiring for jobs. Groups like Transparency say it's extremely difficult to quantify the amount of corruption that takes place each year because of its secretive nature. However, some estimates put the global figure for bribery alone at more than $1 trillion annually. In just the construction industry, Transparency estimates 10% of the $4 trillion industry disappears because of corruption. Corruption expert Louise Shelley says the effect of graft is especially damaging for poor countries.
If you have, 5% of an economy being paid in bribes or 7%, a strong economy like in Italy can tolerate that. A weaker economy that loses a similar percentage of its assets will be much worse off.
A country plagued by corruption also will have difficulty in attracting foreign investment, one of the keys in generating economic development. Nancy Boswell.
Companies, if they can help it, will not go to countries where there's rampant corruption. There is survey after survey demonstrating companies go where there's a hospitable environment, and part of that is less corruption. So that's an important factor as well. For countries that want to attract investment and trade, focusing on fighting corruption is an absolutely vital element of that equation.
With some exceptions, it's the countries that rely on a single natural resource for most of their incomes that are most susceptible to corruption. Oil-rich countries, like Venezuela and Nigeria, are examples of this. In its annual corruption index, Transparency International ranks these two nations as among the worst for corruption. Louise Shelley, who heads the Washington-based Terrorism, Transnational Crime, and Corruption Center, explains why oil-rich countries are so susceptible.
Because you have one natural resource that generates huge amounts of money, and that natural resource is concentrated in the hands of a central elite or the ruling figure, and therefore it becomes a very close-held group that controls this natural resource. And because there's such an international market for it, there's just enormous corruption that accompanies it.
The United States is not immune from corruption. Recently, there have been several scandals involving misdeeds by U.S. lawmakers. Congressman Randy Duke Cunningham, for example, was forced to resign his office last year and was sentenced to jail for taking more than $2 million in bribes. But it's in dictatorships like those in Burma or Belarus where corruption flourishes because there is no transparency, no free press, and citizens have almost no rights. Louise Shelley points to the 2003 Rose Revolution in Georgia as an example where citizens mobilized to depose a corrupt authoritarian government.
You need citizens that are so fed up with the corruption that's in existence that they demand change and that they're ready to change their ways and their behavior so they're not complicit in this corruption. There needs to be a social contract where the society decides that it's going to do something about it. We've seen it in Italy, we've seen it in Georgia, where there are major efforts made with the society and the government in tandem to do something about a serious problem.
Anti-corruption marches have been staged in Peru and other nations where citizens are demanding change. But ending corruption requires more than just demonstrations. Anti-corruption laws have to be passed, and the judiciary must be empowered to enforce them. To this end, a United Nations convention signed by more than 130 countries went into effect in December, outlining a list of recommendations for how government, the private sector, and citizens can help stop corruption. Much of the focus is on business. Since 1977, the United States has had a law on the books called the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, which forbids U.S. businesses from paying bribes when operating abroad. The OECD, which groups together 30 industrialized countries, has a convention that makes it illegal for companies of member nations to engage in bribery. Prior to the 1999 OECD convention, some industrialized countries permitted their companies to engage in bribery abroad and even allowed those expenses to be tax deductible. Transparency International's Nancy Boswell says she's hopeful measures such as the OECD treaty will help curb corruption, but she adds a change of attitude is also required.
Every time we see the damage, particularly in the poorest areas of the world, and we understand the disproportionate impact of corruption on the poor, then I think we remember that this is really important for all of us to play a role. Business, for example, thinks about, am I going to get the deal? And they think about competition. It's important that they also understand there's an impact to their actions that flows down the chain to the very poorest.
The stakes are highest for developing countries. Boswell and others agree that these nations must stamp out corruption if they hope to someday emerge from the mire of underdevelopment and poverty. Bill Rogers, VOA News, Washington.